Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Final hour of our broadcast week. Welcome to the big lead. Gonna make it a good hour, man. Otherwise, my weekend's ruined. The quality of this hour determines my attitude toward the weekend. Actually, it's Father's Day weekend. It's gonna be glorious. Two of my three girls are in town for Father's Day on Sunday. Excited about that. One of my girls in the 120-degree southwest heat wave right now. Just sounds unbelievable. 124 in Death Valley. They said could get up to 140. They might break some all-time heat records. See, I don't mind that. When I've been in 114 degrees and I think that was an all-time high at the time in Vegas. And I was coaching in a tournament at the convention center there. And I went for about a 7-mile walk in the middle of the afternoon in 114 degrees from kind of the North Strip toward downtown. And I love that kind of weather. I have no problem.
I'm heading down there, Dory, next weekend.
Where are you going?
To Arizona. It's supposed to be about 114.
Is it still going to be by next weekend?
It's supposed to come down a little bit this week, but then go back up while I'm there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter's down there for a wedding shower. But who plans a wedding shower on Father's Day weekend? Taking my kid away like that?
That's kind of lame.
I tell you what, though. Since the COVID restrictions are easing, the floodgates are opening on weddings and other things because... I've been trying to plan the summer party for our family and friends, and every weekend, somebody in our family has a wedding invitation and or a commitment or is a bridesmaid, and it's like everybody now is saying, all right, we waited long enough, we're getting her done, but this is a
boom
time.
Your girls are at that age. Sorry.
Well, but, yeah.
Man, the 20s are all weddings.
Yeah.
Unless you're Nicole.
Stop. You're going to... Mr. Wright's out there.
Sure.
I know he is. Okay, before I get into the big lead, I do have a couple of your read on the big lead emails. Ariel writes, for the past 2 months, I have been waiting for my unemployment payment. Every time I reach out to the unemployment office via email, I get no response. Every time I try to call the number, it hangs up due to high call volumes. This has been for 2 months. I've been living off my savings for 2 months, and funds are getting low. I am so blown away by the fact that I literally cannot talk to anyone who can help. The system is so messed up, and it adds so much anxiety during this time. Just venting frustration at this point. Thanks for listening. Give 'em hell. And Ariel, this is on Jay Inslee now. You had the Susie Levine, who oversees a $1 billion theft and gets promoted to the Biden administration. Then Inslee just announced a new director. And if this is so, what you just sent to me, is this true for a lot of you trying to get unemployment benefits? Is the office still that messed up? Are they still that far behind? Are they still that just chaotic that they can't take care of the people of this state? That is on Jay Inslee. The buck stops at the top. And I'm really sad to hear that, Ariel. But I would like to find out if that's the case for others listening. Text me, 98973. Another listener, yesterday we had an exclusive story about the Dale Turner Family YMCA in Shoreline having a drag queen story time, which is, I don't want to go through all of the minutia of disclaimer, but I couldn't care less if adults go to drag shows as their entertainment. I have a friend that we used to work with. He and his partner enjoyed going to drag shows, but he confirmed for me that no way would children or should children be exposed to that culture, because the drag culture is heavy drugs, heavy sexuality. And the King County Library, they had some drag queens reading to children, and they tell the kids, oh, please follow me on Instagram. And I went to some of those Instagram accounts, and they were filthy. They're filthy. And I think parents taking their kids, their 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds, to a drag queen story time, it doesn't enhance the child's life at all. Parents do it so that they can tell their fellow woke parents how woke they are, and they can be congratulated for how progressive they are. And these story times are strictly for parents, and they're exposing their kids to what is an unhealthy culture. And then somebody else wrote to me after we talked about this yesterday. I'd like you to raise the other derogatory aspect of drag queens. Their shtick is to make fun of femininity. Their whole basis is a put down on women. Make a joke out of acting female. I find that objectionable and derogatory. Why have a fake, ridiculous clown portray an exaggerated, derogatory woman as some form of art and cultural enlightenment? Will the Y and the libraries do blackface storytellers? How about drunken Irishman leprechaun storytellers? Why not chiseling, money-grubbing, Scrooge, Swiss, Jewish, Scotch storytellers? Why not excellent stage performer storytelling? Yeah, the drag queen who read to the kids at the Shoreline Y, the Dale Turner Family Y, it goes by the name of Mercury Poisoning, and I found one video of somebody who has the same drag names. I assume it's the same person.
It's fine, because I look gorgeous, I'm feeling fabulous, and I'm a drag queen that's about to get drunk on camera, so you're welcome.
I think that's a fair question. I feel gorgeous, I look fabulous. I don't know any women who talk that way. Why is that more acceptable than people in blackface doing a black scent? Why is this allowed? Why can you make fun of women or have such an exaggerated caricature of women like that? What is the difference? Good question by the listener who wrote in. All right, let's get to this hour's big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Looks like in King County, they are going to stop the bicycle helmet law. It's been in place for many, many years. When I was a kid, I rode my bike all around every single day. Never wore a helmet. Never crossed a helmet. You didn't wear seatbelts back then. I went to North Dakota with my mom in Olds, a beat-up, rickety Olds 98. And mom was going 120 miles an hour across Montana. We didn't have seatbelts on. It's crazy. I mean, I would never let my kid on a bike or in a car without a helmet or seatbelt. But they say that enforcing of the helmet law has been racist because there have been a disproportionate number of tickets written to Black, brown, and indigenous people on bikes. Ethan Campbell, who's leading repealing the helmet law, he says that if it's that unfairly enforced, it's got to go.
We found that Black cyclists have been cited disproportionately for not wearing a helmet to the rate of 4 times the rate of white cyclists. So a really stark disparity.
Now, is that because of racism or do Black people wear helmets much, much, much less than white people? And some would say, well, that's socioeconomic. Maybe they can't afford a helmet, Dory. That's absolute nonsense. I just Googled King County free bike helmets. Bike Works has a Bikes for All program that provides free bicycles and helmets to marginalized youth, families, and adults. Bothell Fire, there's on hold right now during COVID. Cascade Bicycle Club, you can get $10 helmets from them. Fall City King Fire District, low-cost helmets are available. They're free with a suggested donation. North Shore Fire District, Puget Sound Regional Fire Authority, Redmond Police Department, Valley Medical Center, Seattle Children's Hospital, Valley Fire Authority, Woodinville Fire and Rescue. You can get a free helmet. So it's in socioeconomic. But something is not necessarily racist if more black people are getting tickets. It might mean more black people don't wear helmets. And that wasn't addressed at all. This was King 5 that did the story on this.
Latino and indigenous cyclists were also cited at higher rates. And Crosscut reported that nearly half of all recent citations went to homeless people.
Okay, and King County Council Member Gourmet Zahile, sorry about that, says...
is having the unintended effect of actually harming public health through criminalization, that's something that we should take a look at and take very seriously.
How does a King County councilman not understand what's the difference between criminalization and receiving a ticket? These aren't criminal charges against people who aren't wearing a bike helmet. You get a citation. But he calls it criminalization because that makes it sound so much more dramatic. And once again, it's people saying to others, you're a victim because of who you are, because of what you are. And I'll tell you once again, but I said a couple of hours ago, out where I live on the Burke-Gilman Trail, cops hang out there. And I've seen many, many people get tickets for speeding. The cops are there with their radar gun on the Burke-Gilman. And if you're going over 15 miles an hour, you can get a speeding ticket. Also, a lot of people, especially in Kenmore, alongside Kenmore Air and the big gravel pit there, or gravel company. A lot of people blow through stop signs, and I've seen people get tickets for that. I have never seen anybody except a white person get tickets. And I've seen dozens in all the decades that I've been riding out here. And every single one has been a white person. So, should we get rid of the speed limit on the Burke-Gilman Trail? Should we say you can blow through stop signs on the Burke-Gilman Trail because those laws are disproportionately affecting white people? That's how stupid this bicycle helmet thing is. Just because some more people, a group of people, are getting more tickets does not mean that it's racist. However, I also believe that if you're an adult and you don't want to wear a helmet, you shouldn't have to, on a motorcycle or a bicycle. The only provision is, if you don't have insurance to cover your head injury, don't expect the taxpayers to pick up the tab at Harborview for you then. All right. I got a couple of stories that I got to get to here. Oh, I do have some time. I love this. I have some advice, because I love to help out my listeners with their health. If you are a woman and if you are liberal, stop it with your ideology. A brand new poll shows what is called an alarming rate of mental health problems in white liberal women. According to this Pew survey, it shows over 50% of people who identified themselves as white liberal women under the age of 30, 50% reported that a doctor or other healthcare professional had diagnosed them with a mental health condition. 50%! You can't do anything about being white. You can't do anything about being under the age of 30. You can't do anything about being a woman. Well, you can, I guess, in this day and age. But you can do something about being a liberal. It's driving you crazy. Stop it, for crying out loud. But if 50% of liberal white women under 30 have diagnosed mental illness, then you're losing your minds because of your worldview, because of your ideology. Come over to the dark side. Join the rest of us. Your mental health will thank you. And then also, you have a bunch of restaurants that cannot open, even though they would love to open, because they cannot find workers. And this is going to be a huge hit for working class, entry-level people, because those restaurants are going to eventually find a way to operate. And what some are increasingly turning toward is robots. They have robots that'll deliver the food. You'll just have a touchpad at the table. And a lot of restaurant owners say that they are trying to accelerate their plans into the future, eliminating what would be hundreds of thousands, probably millions of waiter, waitress jobs in the restaurants. Sergio Restaurant CEO Carlos Gazuta says that, yeah, if we can't get any servers, if we can't get any people, we'll figure out a way.
You know, we were offering, obviously, increases of wages, healthcare plans, 401ks, but people just weren't applying. And like many in the industry, we didn't know what to do. Some restaurants down here, in particular in South Florida, were closing 1 or 2 days a week because just of the burnout. So we started looking internally at our employees, talking to them, and we realized that they just were walking way too much. The servers couldn't take all our tables. 30% of our restaurants are closed. And that's where robotics came in, right? We thought of the idea of, you know, what if the servers can just be more with the guest and we can take that hard part of doing the server's job and use robotics?
So how does the robot know who to serve?
So it's 3D mapped the restaurant, so it knows all the walls. And it's pretty interesting using kind of this technology is that we are able to know exactly where we want Aster to go for each table. So we use a walkie-talkie system where we are talking, communicating with our server, letting them know, hey, table 55 is coming out. Uh-huh. And this has actually increased servers' wages, right? Because before they're able to take 3 to 4 tables, now they can take 5 to 6 tables.
Wow. Well, but there's another benefit for robots, for us, for the customers. You don't have to tip them.
The robot doesn't get tipped, so the server actually keeps that money.
But this is an example of how Joe Biden and blue state governors are destroying our economy, because they keep giving the money away, giving the unemployment benefits, extending the benefits. And in those states, a lot of people have made the choice to be a deadbeat. They would rather just get free money from other people than do a job. And that is all by design. The more you implement a deadbeat mentality, the more those people will be forever beholden to government for their sustenance, which is exactly what the liberals, the radical liberals, like. They don't want people to be free, to have control of their own life. They want them to be stewards of the government at all times. So that's why they're giving out all this free money. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, man, what a batch. What a batch of awesome audio of the week. That is part of the half hour ahead of us as the Dory Monson Show rolls. Gotta keep this just between you and me, okay? I just realized something. I realized it about a week ago, too, and I didn't do anything. Tomorrow, okay, I can talk about this right now because today was the last day of school where my wife works. And she has a tennis match tonight. So she just went to take a nap. So I know she's not listening. And I'm trusting you. I don't want you to mention this to anybody because I don't want it to get back to her. Tomorrow is our 34th wedding anniversary. And we dated for 4 years before we got married. So we've been together for 38 years. Tomorrow's our 34th wedding anniversary, and I still haven't gotten anything. I am the worst in the world. I realized a few days ago, I still haven't gotten you your birthday gift this year. Your birthday,
that's okay.
When's your birthday? In April?
Yeah. That's funny.
I'm the worst.
Yeah, just think experiences. I don't think you have to go shopping. Think for your wife, I'm saying. Think experiences. Think fancy dinner. You can pull it off with something like that. You don't have to go shopping.
You know what you should get, Dory? You should get to step in because you really should have taken care of this.
Get to step in. Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe it'll trip. They can always just, you know, print a picture of some place. Give that to her.
Yeah.
Don't forget to book it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I just thought of that. Crying out loud. 34 years married.
I mean, you go wrong with flowers anyway? I feel like sometimes that's enough. I mean, aren't you to the point where flowers is enough?
I've never been a big flower guy.
What if you
they only
like
last for a week?
What if you come up with a list of 34 to 38 things you really love about your wife?
Oh man, that would be that would be very special and cool.
And
it?
With each reveal, you take off an article of your clothing. Strip compliments.
But I thought it was supposed to be a gift.
Oh, yeah, maybe she doesn't want to unwrap you, right?
No, that is one present she has no interest in unwrapping. Oh, man, okay. Anyway, so, but like I said, I'm trusting you. Keep this just between you and me. If you do want to text me, a fantastic idea, 98973. Talking quietly because I'm not sure if she's asleep yet. I don't want her to overhear me. Shoot. Doggone it anyway. The thing is, if I do say so myself, I'm a great husband in all other ways, just not with gift giving. That is one of the greatest holes in my repertoire. I don't know what
is that your. So there's the love languages, right? Is that your wife's love language, though? I mean, you only have to be good at it if that's how she speaks love.
Yeah, but. I don't know.
Is that her thing? Or is it more gestures? Or is it more touch? I don't know. What's her love language? She likes presents?
I don't think she cares that much about material things. She doesn't seem to. She's not a big jewelry person. She's not. I don't know. Okay,
I don't see her as that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? I've just yapped away. I played way too much Dead Mouse this segment. So... I want to get all of our awesome audio in because this is an exceptional batch this week. And so let me just take a quick time out here. And then our favorite sound bites of the entire week as the Dory Monson Show continues. Hello? Hello?
Hey there, I'm here. Here we go.
Down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a week. And on Fridays, we like to wrap it up strong by reviewing our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
Okay, I gave myself a little extra time because, man, everybody loved this guy that we played. Critical race theory is one of the most racist curriculums in our lifetime. It is brainwashing our kids. It is teaching kids to hate each other. They want the black kids to look at the white kids and just resent them because they're so privileged. The white kids are supposed to feel guilty. It is a hateful, hateful curriculum. And that's why so many states have banned it, Texas being the most recent. Of course, here in Washington, we aren't banning critical race theory because we've got a lot of people on the radical left who are using our kids as a social experiment. And it's evil. It is evil to do this. Listen to this man. There's a black man named Ty Smith. And I played a little bit of this earlier. I'm going to play you more here that we have not heard earlier. But he went to the school board and he talked about, as I said, very successful black man. He talked about his experience in school that has led to his current stance on critical race theory.
Give an example here. I was in the third grade and I was on welfare. Go figure. And we had something called a lunch car. Our teacher would let the kids that got the cold lunch or got lunch from home, they got to go in line first. I had to, the ones that had a lunch card, we had to go behind them. I started feeling real down and bad about myself. What makes them kids more special? What makes them different? What makes them so cool that they get to go first while us with the lunch card get to go in the back? So I started piecing some things together like, man, this is messed up. Why? 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 They were some of my friends. I started disassociating myself with them. I started actually hating them. I actually started disliking them because I felt that they had something that I didn't have. They had it better than I had. I actually started getting mad at my home life because why can't I get a cold lunch to bring up here so I can be up there in line? Why couldn't I? Now, my friends trying to figure out what's wrong with Ty. How come he's so mad at us? I'm mad at them for something that's not even their fault. I'm getting mad at them because I'm the one that got a lunch card. They get to go first in line. But the fact that I was in the third grade and was able to piece that together to say in the third grade, look what I did. I conjured up my own perceptions of what my friends were. They weren't looking down on me. They didn't think they were better than me. I'm the one that came up with those false perceptions of what my friends were, not them.
It's a great analogy. And he then went on to say the critical race theory is teaching kids those false perceptions.
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, that's pretty much what it's going to, that's pretty much, I don't care to say, it's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, right, time up, because I only got 5 minutes now. Two medical degrees. No mom, no dad in the house. Worked my way through college. Sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You gonna tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never gonna be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't gonna be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't gonna let you get no, oh, you know you're not gonna be able to do here because you know, the white man gonna keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now if some white man kept me down? How am I now directing over folks that look just like you guys in this room right now? How? What kept me down? What oppressed me? I worked for myself from off the streets to where I am right now. You gonna sit here and tell me this lie of critical race theory? Of this the reason why black folks can't get ahead because of white folks? Are you kidding me? This is what we come to now. I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. The last thing I'm gonna say right here is something that's crazy. Martin Luther King said he wanted his kids to grow up in a world where they are judged by the contents of their what?
Their character,
not their skin. If they let this stuff go on right now, it is absolutely doing the complete reverse of what he's doing. So when February comes, don't talk about Martin Luther King. When February comes, don't talk about Black Houston. None of y'all will sit there and just pretty much pee on his grave with this nonsense. That's exactly what's about to happen. Last.
Ty Smith, he is powerful. Speaking to his school board. Okay, also in our awesome audio, earlier this week, we noticed that the Biden administration has decided to eliminate mothers. You're no longer mothers when you have babies. And two members of OMB, Office of Management and Budget, they were talking before Congress, and listen to how they use language.
So is the administration's official policy to replace the term woman with birthing people?
I think our official policy is to make sure when people get service from their government that they feel included, and we're trying to use inclusive language.
So mothers are no longer mothers because not all mothers are women, they say. So now it's birthing people in case a woman with women genitalia and ovaries doesn't want to be a woman.
There are certain people who do not have gender identities that apply to female or male. So we think our language needs to be more inclusive in how we deal with complex issues. I think the underlying issue is most important that your colleagues, Lauren Underwood and others, are working on.
Now, they're changing language for a very specific reason. That's to try to control our language, control our minds.
You shifted first. I also noticed you changed a term in your budget work. You shifted from, in places, from using the term mother to birthing people rather than mother. Can you help me get a good definition of birthing people?
Well, I'll check on the language there, but I think if we're talking about those who give birth, I think we're talking about, I don't know how else to explain it to you other than...
I was a little taken back when I just read it and saw it, that it's that the term mother was gone in spots and it was replaced with birthing people.
Yeah, so, and people who said, hey, I adopted my kids. I'm not a birthing person, but they can't call me a mom. This is crazy. And then the other thing we realized when we heard all of this is all the songs that we now have to change. Yes,
birthing person.
There are a lot of songs. A lot of people said, your birthing person don't dance and your non-birthing person don't rock and roll. There's this one.
Birthing person, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my home. Birthing person.
You know, you get the idea.
Bismillah. No, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah. We will not let you go.
Let him go.
Bismillah. We will not
Time
let
is
you
out.
Go.
For this week. Birthing person just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Birthing person, life had just begun. I gotta get out of here. I'm going crazy. Tom and Curly Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. Have a wonderful weekend. And on Sunday, a happy non-birthing person to all of you non-birthing people.
Are you finished?
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.